This is Poetry Off the Shelf from the Poetry Foundation, April 18th, 2008. I'm Curtis Fox. This week, some feminist poetry about men. Today, a few poems by Alicia Ostreicher, a poet and a biblical scholar who teaches at Rutgers University. She has published 11 books of poetry and has twice been nominated for the National Book Award. And for a feminist poet, Alicia Ostreicher conspicuously writes a lot about men, at least according to Daisy Freed, a poet who wrote about Alicia Ostreicher for Harriet, the Poetry Foundation's blog. She joins me from her home in Philadelphia. Hi, Daisy.
Hi.
So you're a huge reader of Alicia Ostreicher. You know her personally. And you say that you're struck by how often men figure into her poems. What sort of men does she write about?
Well, she has a lot of family members, mm-hmm. mostly her husband and son, and especially her husband, or a husband, I should say. Men in the news or in history, mm-hmm. like Nixon, soldiers, William Lloyd Garrison shows up, and various other men in passing, just cab drivers, students, workers. And then another big category, giving the husband a run for his money, artists.
Yeah, we're going to hear one of those poems about artists in just a second. Last year, the Poetry Foundation recorded Alicia Ostreicher reading some of her poems, and I want to play one of them for you and talk with you about it. It's called Matisse II, and this is what the poet herself told us about the poem by way of introduction.
What we need to know about this one is that I have written poetry about visual art all my life, because when I was young, I wanted to be an artist. And then I decided I wasn't good enough, but I love painting. I love painters. And I write about painting and painters all the time.
So here's Alicia Ostreicher reading Matisse II.
Matisse II, when the fingers ceased to work, worked larger and bolder. His primary colors celebrating the weddings of innocence and glory, innocence and glory. Monet, when the cataracts blanketed his eyes, painted swirls of rage, and when his sight recovered, painted water lilies. Picasso claimed, "I do not seek, I find," and stuck to that story about himself and made that story stick. Damn the fathers. We are talking about defiance.
So that's a really surprising last line. Damn the fathers. We are talking about defiance. What do you make of that?
Well, this poem is about courage.
Artistic courage.
Yeah, and it's about frailty. I think it's about courage in life, about how to keep going as an artist.
Monet, when the cataracts blanketed his eyes, painted swirls of rage, and when his sight recovered, painted water lilies.
So then you get that damn the father's phrase, we're talking about defiance. And the first thing you think, is it a rejection of the patriarchy? And certainly that's one idea that's in the poem.
Is it a rejection of those artistic fathers, those artists that she's just been talking about?
The father artists have also, of course, wedded innocence and glory and shown how to defy the loss of eyesight. And they're in defiance of their fathers, of course, too, real or academic.
That's right. These are the great modernists who totally overturned the previous generation's ideas of what art was.
Yes. So could defying the patriarchy be this poet, be Alicia's big struggle?
Mm-hmm.
Like Matisse's arthritis or Monet's cataracts or Picasso's story? And could it also mean damn worrying about the patriarchy? It's not about gender. It's about art.
Right.
When she's saying, damn these notions about how a contemporary woman artist is supposed to relate to the male masters, maybe that's another thing she's saying. And even so, still, damn the men. I think the poem contains all these ideas without resolving them.
Mm-hmm. And you say something that's a little confusing to me about this poem. You say, negative capability is possible in feminism. So how do you get from that poem to that statement?
Well, negative capability, of course, is Keats's idea
mm-hmm.
about not resolving contradictions.
Yeah, being able to hold two ideas.
Holding two ideas
in your
without
mind
resolving
at the same
them,
time.
Right. People think of feminist poetry as simply making arguments in favor of women,
mm-hmm.
perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of making a joke, which also seems obvious to me that, you know, of course feminist poetry can be complex.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that in Alicia's case, she is writing good feminist poems, good intentionally feminist poems.
Damn the fathers. We are talking about defiance.
she's praising the fathers at the same time. She's embracing them and damning them at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Another much earlier Elisha Ostreicher poem that you write about is one that we don't have her reading, but it's so striking that I wanted to see if I could get you to read it. It's from the sequence called Mother-Child Papers, and it's a love poem. Could you tell us a bit about this poem and then read it for us?
Sure. The Mother-Child Papers is a sequence of poems and prose mm-hmm. published in 1980 mm-hmm. about the birth of a son in wartime. So in this sequence, it's 1970. America has invaded Cambodia and shot its own children at Kent State. The men in this book-length poem are the son, Gabriel, the husband, President Nixon, Dr. Keensmile, who's a condescending doctor who gives the poet Demerol without her permission during childbirth.
Which used to be the way that people did it back in those days, right?
Right.
Yeah.
There are also boy students, boy soldiers, National Guardsmen, veterans, and in the middle of this swirl of stuff going on, there's this extraordinary love poem.
Let's hear it.
The door clicks. He returns to me. He brings fresh air in. We kiss. We touch. I am holding the flannel-wrapped baby. The girls run to him. He takes his jacket off and waltzes the weightless bundle over his shoulder. We eat dinner, and evening falls. I have bathed the girls. I walk by our broad bed. Upon it rests a man in a snow-white shirt, like a great sleepy bird. Next to him rests his seed, his son. Lamplight falls on them both. If a woman looks at such a sight, is the felt pang measureless pleasure? Is it measureless pain?
Now, you say that you find this poem difficult to talk about. Why is that?
Well, it's very simple. Mm-hmm. There's nothing really to figure out. You mm-hmm. know, you know what's happening. Mm-hmm. The language is simple. At the same time, it's mysterious. It's a pleasing domestic scene, happy family.
Yeah.
That's the first two stanzas. The third stanza turns sexy.
Yeah.
And a little bit eerie. A woman is looking at her man, and he is an animal. He is animal. He is fatherhood with a capital F. And he is, in that white shirt, both purity and civilization. He's intimately familiar, and he's inaccessible. And then in the fourth stanza, if a woman looks.
Yeah, the whole poem seems to hinge right on that phrase.
Right. The idea being she may not look.
If a woman looks, right.
So, I mean, anybody can recognize the feeling here, you know, the shock of love that keeps getting renewed. I think love itself here is a place of both discomfort and excitement, just as a good poem is a place of discomfort and excitement.
Yeah.
You know, it's feminist poetry about living with men.
Daisy Fried, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Daisy Fried's latest book of poems is My Brother is Getting Arrested Again, published by the University of Pittsburgh Press. I just said goodbye to Daisy Fried, but before we end the program, I wanted to play just one more poem by Elisha Ostreicher. It's a domestic poem, and men, once again, are at the center of it. It's called Boil.
Boil is a poem that wrote itself very fast. I did little or no alterations. I often revise poems and revise and revise for weeks, months, years, but this one was, it was done when it was done, right off the bat. And you can more or less tell it because it moves so fast.
It's a poem about the deep human impulse for continual transformation, which here is caused by a kind of masculine force. Here's Elisha Ostreicher reading Boil.
Boil over. It's what the nerves do. Watch them seethe when stimulated, murmurs the man at the stove to the one at the fridge. Watch that electric impulse that finally makes them fume and fizz at either frayed end. If you could grasp a bundle of nerves in your fist like a jumper cable and sense that python's writhe, or a garden hose when the pressure's high and it willfully weaves about, trying its best to get away from you, You'd see how nothing is passive. We're all, I mean, from our elephant son, ejaculant great-grandfather, cascading down to weightless, unstoppable neutrinos, leaving their silvery trace in vacuum chambers in effervescent lines, twisted madly in our madhouse jackets, rules, laws, which we are seething to break, though to rupture them might be, of course, to die, or possibly to change. Boil. It's what water and everything else teaches.
You can read more poems by Alicia Ostreicher on our website, poetryfoundation.org, where you can also read thousands of other poems by hundreds of other poets. Alicia Ostreicher's latest book of poems is No Heaven, out from Rutgers University Press. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us your thoughts about this program. Our email address is podcast@poetryfoundation.org. You can also write a review of the program in the iTunes Store. The music used in this program comes from the Claudia Quintet. For Poetry Off the Shelf, I'm Curtis Fox. Thanks for listening.